to have it working in time for today's show. Unfortunately, they were unable to do this, so we're on radio only. CKRW radio only, and it's particularly unfortunate because of the guests that we have here. We would certainly like to have been able to get them on videotape and put them in our video library. Martha and Cam Cameron, G.I. Cameron, who have been around the Yukon a few years, and of course we're going to be talking about their experiences in the Yukon. Welcome to both of you to Talk Back.
And, thank you, John.
We hope you enjoy yourselves. We're looking forward to getting some good stories from you about your many, many years here in the Yukon, and we'll be more specific about that part of it after we take a break. The program is Talk Back. The number is 77891. Our guests are Martha and G.I. Cameron, and we're talking about all of their years in the Yukon. I'm sure many of their friends will want to phone up, remind them of various stories, or ask them questions about what they've been doing in the North for all these many, many years. We'll be back in just 1 minute.
Fourth and Wheeler is the location of the White Horse Motors Chevron Service Station and their Firestone Tire Center. Did you know White Horse Motors will complete your tire repairs for only $149? They will do your split rim half ton and three quarter ton tire repairs for only $2.99. That's the best price in town. Drive into White Horse Motors, 4th and Wheeler, for your tire repairs and get a free tire inspection as part of the bargain.
Thank you very much. I was just going to dash down some background information. Martha, you were born in the Yukon.
Yes, John.
Tell us how long ago?
I was born in Dawson City, April the 29th, 1904.
1904.
Now, you might want a little of my background,
sure,
John.
Sure do.
My dad and mother were engaged, remarried, and lived in Boston, Massachusetts. And, of course, as my mother was from Ireland, plans were made for her to go home, and they would be married in Ireland. However, the gold rush came on the scene at that time, and that was far more important to my dad than getting married. So mother proceeded to Ireland alone, and my dad came north with three or four of his brothers and his dad. His brothers, George, died and remained, of course, in Dawson. Uncle Jim died in the Iditarod. So Dave, my brother, my dad, and my Uncle Alan remained there for a good many years. Mother came. Dad went out in 1900, and they were married in Boston, Massachusetts on July the 12th, 1900. And proceeded to Dawson. I think at that time they were able to come back over the railroad. Dad, of course, in the early days, came up. He and his brothers came up to the summit, and I believe were part of putting up that tramway that hauled people's truck up the pass. Now, I'm not too sure. I know he ran a little donkey motor up there, and he and his brothers. And then they proceeded to Dawson and Mind. But Alan finally left the country, and that dad remained there. In fact, he passed away in the 50s and is still there. Now, mother and dad coming in, of course, in those days, was no horse and buggy. There was just a foot trail. So mother had to walk with her high boots and long dresses and many, many petticoats, of course. In fact, I have a picture of her here that I could have shown you, but we're not on TV, of her in the suit that she wore. They walked 50 miles up Hunker, and that's where Dad had his little mining cabin. And as Mother had just returned from Ireland, she brought with her many Irish linen, table covers, bed linen, etc. And of course, when she saw this little old decrepit log cabin, dark, dismal, and everything, that is where her good linen went, to line this little old cabin. And they remained there many years, of course, eventually got a larger cabin and a family. There were five of us, four girls and a boy, and we all lived in Dawson. Now, Margretta, my sister, Mrs. Gondo, still remains in Dawson City. My brother's retired and gone outside, and I have remained in Whitehorse. And it's pretty hard to move an old dog, and I imagine this is where we will stay. Now, maybe you'd like to hear something about Cam.
Yeah, well, no, Martha, before we do that, what did your father do all these years? He died here in the Yukon in the
50s. Yeah, he mined, of course, for a good many years, and then he was the fireman on that little train in the park in Dawson, number one,
yes.
I think that was his engine. And then later he went into the taxi business, and he ran the school bus. He was in the taxi business for a good many years. In fact, he had the Ford agency there. Dr. Gillis had the first Ford agency, and then Dad had it after that.
What year would that be?
Oh, gosh.
1912.
Yeah, it must have been in the early 10, 11, 12, around there. I just don't remember dates to be exact. But my nickname was Jitney because my dad ran this taxi, and, of course, I was a bit of a tomboy. So Jitney went to school regular, and I have some very good pictures of my dad when he took the school children. I would say 14 to 15 kiddies in one little model T Ford, if you can imagine it, but I have the pictures to prove it. Then he, let's see, he was a fire chief in Dawson for years. He went to Mayo and worked for the Wernicke outfit there, and then they returned to Dawson, and he was fire chief. And he was retired, of course, when he passed away. He had worked up here for a while for the Army and then went back to Dawson, and that is where he ended his days.
Cam, what brought you into the Yukon, and how long ago?
Well, it was quite a number of years ago. I came in 1925. Came in from Vancouver. I was with the police at the time.
The RCMP?
The RCMP police.
Was it Royal Northwest?
Royal Canadian Mounted Police at that time. Oh, yeah. Yes, they changed to Royal Canadian Mounted Police in 1920.
All right.
And I went to Mayo first in that area. I was working there for a while. And then later I was in Dawson for 4 years in the town station there, working out at Dawson, various detachments throughout the territory. And I met Martha down there. Of course, she was a young sourdough, I might say, at that time, having come to Yukon in 1904. She didn't come over the pass, so as I ever heard. However, I stayed there till 1928, and
When did you get married?
I got married in 28.
1928. So what's that, 45?
45. Yeah, well, 45 years this June.
It'll be 45 mm-hmm. years this June, 1928. Yeah. And that was in Dawson City.
I was in Dawson, in the area there.
How long were you in the RCMP?
I joined in 1919. I came from the Canadian Army. I was discharged at the war. I joined the Mounted Police. As Royal Northwest Mounted Police at that time. And I stationed in Vancouver, stayed there for a few years, and then came to the Yukon.
When did you leave the RCMP?
Well, I left in 1928.
And
I was out for several years, and I rejoined and came back.
Cam, I should let your friends and our listeners know that today is your birthday, and a very happy birthday to you from CKRW and from myself.
Well, thank you very much, John. We're going to get two more years around here.
I've been, we've mentioned and promoted on the radio that we're going to have you on. I've talked to several of your friends who've given some specific stories that they would like to hear and specific parts of your lives that they'd like to hear you relate. And of course, any that come to mind as we go along, yeah, you're certainly welcome to tell us about, because that's what the whole thing's about. What, for instance, Cam, going back to your RCMP duties, what stands out in your years as a Mountie? As an outstanding part of being a Mountie, was there any special cases? Did you have to track down your man into the wilds of the Yukon at any time, things like that?
Well, we never had any very exciting. It was routine matters. Mostly we, in them days, of course, handled practically all the territorial and government work. And I had the river patrol in later years, from 1930s till 49. It was all very interesting.
Cam, why is it the RCMP, it seems, were able, and this is their 100th anniversary, why were the RCMPs able to handle things with such cool, it seems, in the development of the west of Canada and the north of Canada? There seemed to be a minimum amount of violence as opposed to the development of the American West?
Well, it's pretty hard to say what the difference was there. Most of our men made a life work of it, mm-hmm. and they're dedicated men, I believe.
How many men would have been in the Yukon around that time, in the RCMP?
Up in the Yukon here?
Yeah.
Oh, I suppose we'd have 30-odd men.
Where was your biggest settlement? Where was the biggest?
Well, Dawson was at that time, of course. It was center of government. Mm-hmm. And it didn't come to Whitehorse till the 50s. Mm-hmm. And after leaving the police, I came to Whitehorse as assistant director of game and publicity. I was with them for several years, and then I took over the health officer for the territory until I terminated with the government in 1970.
Yeah, but currently you're sergeant at arms up at the territorial council, are you?
Yes,
not?
I have that honor.
you chuckled a little.
Indeed, I did. It's interesting, very interesting.
That's a little different, isn't it? Martha, how about your past in the Yukon? You grew up as a child in Dawson City.
I grew up as a child in Dawson, and I received my schooling there. And then I'm something like, you know, Maggie and Jiggy, the funny papers. I got my start in the laundry. I worked in the Dawson laundry for Gus Johnson for quite a few years. And then I went to work for Harry Gleaves in a cafe and the Arcade Cafe in Dawson. These are all historical places. And then later for Pete and Mike Franitz at the F&F Cafe. And from there, I quit to get married. Mind you, they say the policeman always gets their man. Well, it kept me struggling to try and get the policeman because we were engaged for 3 years. Pardon me. And the OC at the moment would not permit married men in the force. However, we had a new OC, and he agreed that he would do everything in his power to get us permission to get married. So about 3 years later, he said that he would get permission and that we could be married the following June. So we got busy and got our invitations printed in the usual routine. And this OC went to the New Year's ball and had a heart attack, and that finished that. So then the new OC, he wouldn't approve of married men, so that finished that little bit of our plans. So finally, Cam decided, well, it's now or never. You know, he's she's not going to wait.
Maybe you decided.
She's not going to wait forever for me. So he purchased. So Cam purchased in the afternoon, or I would say maybe
purchased
10
o'clock. Purchased what?
From the police.
Well, what's that mean?
He had to purchase. It was a discharge.
So you have to pay to get out?
Oh, yes. Oh, he had to pay to get out. And he got out about 10 o'clock in the morning, and we were married that evening. So he wasn't a free man very long. And then, of course, as they were not having married men in the North at all, we left the Yukon. And in 1928, June of 1928, we went to Ottawa. We lived there a year and decided that the city was not for an old northerner like me. So we left there and went to the Peace River. At that time, the Peace River was all new and up and coming, and we decided to be farmers. Neither one of us really knew one end of a cow from the other, but we decided to homestead, and we did. We took up 30 acres, and we proved up on that, and in 5 years decided that we weren't farmers. Ione was born in the country. I guess everybody knows Ione Christensen is our daughter. And she was born in the Peace River country, and we left there when she was 3 months old. Came back to Vancouver, Cam rejoined the Mounties, and we came back north.
What year was that you came back north?
That was 1935.
That took you right into the middle of the Depression. How did you make out farming in the early years of the Depression?
Well, there was lots of rabbits in the country, same as up here.
We just didn't.
Well, we got by.
What part of the Peace River country were you in, and what town were you near?
We were in Alberta, east of Rolla.
Oh, yes. We're talking with Martha and G.I., or Cam Cameron. We're talking about their many, many years in the North and in the Yukon, and the many of the interesting items and the past history that, in fact, that they were around to watch occur. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 77891. The program's Talk Back, and we'll be back in a minute.
They got Kentucky Fried Chicken, really finger-licking good. It's a treat every family enjoys. You love Kentucky Fried Chicken from the secret recipe made by only Colonel Sanders and his boys.
There's something very special for the whole family on Tuesdays. It's Helen's Chicken Village Family Bucket Special. Enjoy a bucket of that finger-licking good Kentucky Fried Chicken, a dollar box of golden french fries, 16 ounces of creamy coleslaw, a half pint of country gravy, 5 buttermilk biscuits, and a quart of orange lemon or grape drink. Enough to feed 5 to 7 hungry people for just $6.30, regularly $8.20. Treat your family to the Family Bucket Special, Tuesdays only till rendezvous at Helen's Chicken Village. Phone 77755 or 77757. Helen's Chicken Village.
Good morning, Talk Back.
Good morning, John. Can I speak to Mr. Cameron a second, please?
Go right ahead.
Mr. Cameron, a couple of summers ago, I was back rooting around Fort Selkirk there and coming for some old records. I came across a constable. Cameron, would that be you? Were you ever stationed in Fort Selkirk back in the early 40s, late 30s?
That's correct. I was down there from 35 to 49.
Oh,
from
good.
35 to 49, yeah. 14 years.
I was down there 14 years. Yeah. What a wonderful place it was.
Yeah, we were looking around there and it came across some records. It shows that it must have been an interesting place in those days. Why don't you could tell us something more about Selkirk and how it was the heydays? why he died. I'll have the phone down.
Okay, thanks, Pat. Thanks for calling. I shouldn't say that. I recognize the caller. But, yeah, what about Fort Selkirk? We've often heard a lot about it being a big RCMP post. And that.
Well, Selkirk, of course, goes way back to the 1840s. Hudson Bay opened it up there first. And before that, it was a meeting place for the Indians. They used to come in from Haines, Alaska. It was a trading spot. And the local Indians would come in, they'd have their powwows and trading.
Mm-hmm.
Gold and furs went out, and I don't know what come in. But they were always there. In the early days, when we were first down there, there was graves all along the river banks and all through that area, old graves. Still an old Indian graveyard there, very interesting to see.
There was eight hotels at
one time. In the early days, of course, it was practically the center of the territory. There was the field force came in there, and there was five hotels. And
what would you be talking about now? When
Fort Selkirk.
Yeah, but what
That was
time?
In 1900.
Around 1998, yeah.
So forth. It is, at that time, I expect they tend to make the capital of it. Mm-hmm. Field force came in, and there were probably several thousand people in the area around there. Of course, when the field force went down to Dawson, it deteriorated to some extent. And there's always somebody there. It went down and up, as these things will. There's always local residents there. When I went down there, we had Church of England and two trading posts, Taylor and Drury's, and Schofield's and Simmerly's.
Catholic Church. Catholic Church.
Oh, well, of course, they had the Catholic Church there, but it wasn't in operation at that time.
When did Fort Selkirk shut down as a post?
Well, after the highway was built through to Dawson. Uh-huh. And they moved up to Pelly, the local residents, and to Minto.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that was pretty well the end of Selkirk at the present time.
Do you think, Cam, that it should be revived as an historic site?
Oh, definitely. It is one of the most places in the territory here, and it goes back, has quite a history.
It sounds like it goes back a lot further than just about any place in the territory, including Dawson City.
Further back than 40 Mile, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Martha, Cameron, the many years you've been in the Yukon, you must have met some very interesting people. Now, we hear a lot about you know, the fellows that Pierre Burton has written up and the guys that were active in the gold rush, but some of the other people, like you were mentioning during the last break, Percy D. Wolfe, what did you refer to him as?
Yeah, well, Percy D. Wolfe was known as the Iron Man of the North. He has a son that is living here in Whitehorse now. I think he lives up in Kankakee, by the name of Percy, if I'm not mistaken. I knew the whole family, of course, as we went to school and through the school years. And Percy carried the mail from Dawson to Eagle, Alaska, and regardless of whether the river was full of ice, running full in the spring, in the fall, or breaking up in the spring, Percy got the mail through. He was certainly a man that deserves a lot of, I think, comment and a lot of credit for his iron stability.
How would a man like, how would you run the river in during breakup? In
well, he would get through, he'd had his boat and his dogs in the boat, or he would leave them across the river just before the ice got too thick and he'd go over himself in a boat.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just a man that got through.
Yeah.
If the mail, Percy saw the mail got through, period. And that was, there was no fooling around about it. And then there was Jim McNeil, who was a road foreman in the good old days. And Jim would go out with his old Model T, it was a pickup type of thing, with his pick and shovel and what necessary. He'd go for miles working on the road. Of course, you didn't drive a car over it, a sedan or that, but the trucks got through. And then there was Reverend Hibbard of the Methodist Church. He baptized us children. My dad was a Methodist. Mother was a Church of Ireland. And the Methodists were so good to us, we first started in the Yukon there. Why, we went to the Methodist Church. Well, then when the Methodist Church folded up, we followed the Church of England, which was the nearest to Mother's own. Bishop and Mrs. Stringer were very good friends of ours. And there was a four-post McIntyre. Gordon McIntyre's dad was known as four-post McIntyre because he drove a stage, an overland stage in the wintertime, and he would make four posts in one day. So they call him Four Posts. If I'm not right on that, Gordon, you can correct me. And he's another man that I think made the North. There are three men, outstanding men, that you very, very seldom ever hear of. And I babysat a lot of these men that are businessmen that are in Whitehorse today, you know, when I was a youngster. Very good friend of Martha Louise Black. She was an exceptionally good friend of mine, and my mother's to start with, and then mine. In fact, I was with her the day she passed away. There's a lot of school kids around here that we could get together and have a real bash one of these days. The Van Bibber girls, the Taylor, the Betty Taylor and Mickey Dunnett, that were McLennan sisters. I knew their dad when he was just an old batch, and then I met her mother the day she arrived in the Yukon to be married. That's a good many years ago. And then I knew Betty and Mickey and the rest of them. There's Victoria Faulkner. Alice Lev is the girl I babysat for a good long time. Victoria Faulkner was a little higher grade than I was.
We're hoping to have Victoria on the program one of these days, as a matter of fact. What kind of stories, though, what kind of things stand out when you look back over the years?
There's a lot of real interesting stories that I just wouldn't.
A minute, please. As I come in here, I met Ralph Zaccarelli. Boy, I was born in Dawson. He's not exactly a boy now, but he said, now, Cam, he says, I'm going to listen in on this radio today and be very careful what you say, because he says, I'm going to check it very carefully. So go ahead, Martha. That goes for you.
Well, there's a lot of stories I could relate, but they're more parlor stories.
That's all right. This is a nice little parlor.
Yeah, I know it is. I think maybe someday that if we get like Rose Horsfall, who's now Rose Page, and Florence Kunze, who's Florence McDonald, and that, and a bunch of us get together and chat about our school days in Dawson. We all were on the basketball team, and some of the gals played hockey, and Archie Gillespie, he was one of our hockey fans. Helmer Samuelson is another one that went to school with. Alice Samuelson, she's now Alice Holbrook. And there was rather an outstanding incident when I was just a little, as I say, they called me Jitney because my dad had a taxi and I was a tomboy. And the boys were roughing me up a bit coming home from school. I guess I was just maybe about 7 or 8.
That's before I go.
They took my hat. So I came along by the administration building, and there was the janitor there was Alf Ransley, a very kind old bachelor. And he took me into the administration building, and he wrapped my head all up in a roller towel, in the old, good old-fashioned roller towels, and away I went home. Mother just about had a fit when she saw me coming up the alleyway because my head was bound up as if I'd got hurt. But it was just a mere fact that I had lost my hat in the tussle with the boys, and Mr. Ransley felt sorry for me and wrapped me up with a roller towel.
Tell me, was living tough in those days, Martha?
It wasn't. It wasn't tough at all, and we walked to school, didn't make any difference what the temperature. And living was not tough. It was good. We had some marvelous times. In fact, I think some of our better times were when we were youngsters in Dawson. And I think any of the girls that we went to school with will vouch for that, too.
Did you leave the Yukon before at any time?
Never.
On a trip before you went out?
Never. When I was married, we came up. That was the first time I'd seen Whitehorse, 1928. And there was a bunch of Yukoners on the boat going up the coast, and of course I had a pretty rough time because I was just married and everybody was pulling tricks on me. And we got to Vancouver. I had never seen cafeteria,
cafeteria,
right? So they said to me, I went and sat down to be served, and one of the boys said, oh no, you don't do it that way. Take this tray and help yourself. Well, I got so mad because they told me I thought I was going to get in trouble helping myself to the food, and I wound up, my lunch was a bottle of milk, and that was it.
Cam, where had you come from before you came to the Yukon? Where's your home? Where was your home?
Well, I was born in the Three Rivers, Quebec, Trois-Rivières. Do I speak French? I can't right now, but I used to be one time. And Ottawa was later my home. I joined up in the Army there, 16. And then after the war, I joined the police.
Did you see any action during the First World
War?
No,
I was too young. I was held in Canada.
I see.
I joined in 16.
Yeah. And then you were back in the Mounties from 1935
until 49.
Until 1949.
That's right.
Any spectacular happenings during that period?
Oh, we had the usual run of things. There's all kinds of crime wasn't a large part of our work. We had it, of course, as any community would. Just mostly administrative work and control work. We handled all sorts of cases. We handled the medicines, and there was no doctors available in that area. We'd pull teeth or whatever you wanted to do in that nature. Give them a dose of salsa that was necessary.
Were you in the Mounties during the time of the Mad Prepper incident? Or
no, I wasn't. I was in the Peace River at that time. That is after I'd left the first time in 28.
We knew all the boys at...
There's King, and then, of course, he'd been in Dawson some years before. We were followed with interest at the time.
There's a new book out on the market regarding the, what do they call it? What's it referred to? The Trapper, I forget, I just heard it being reviewed on CBC, written by somebody back east, about the Mad Trapper incident. We're talking with Cam and Martha Cameron about their many years here in Yukon. The program is Talkback. The number is 667-7891. If you're out of town and you want to say hello or ask a question or make a comment, please call us, collect. We'll be back in a minute.
Hogan's Camera Department has the new Asahi Pentax Spotmatic 2 in the SP500. These 35mm single-lens reflex cameras are made to the same exacting standards that have made Pentax a quality name in precision-made cameras. Both models will accept any of the superb Takumar lenses. This wide range of optics will help the amateur to grow photographically and will satisfy the demands of the most critical professional. For complete information or to see these exciting new Asahi Pentax cameras, drop into Hogan's on Main Street.
Thanks, Reid. A couple of announcements before we carry on with our guests. Elections for Selkirk Street School Advisory Committee will be held tonight, January 22nd, in the Selkirk Street Gym at 8 o'clock. All interested members of Riverdale are urged to attend. It says here all interested members of Riverdale are urgent to attend, but I think that's a little bit of an error. Anyway, the election tonight for Selkirk Street School Advisory Committee will be held tonight in the Selkirk Gym at 8 o'clock. Also, Joan Brannigan phoned before we came on the air, and she's involved with the Yukon Family Counseling Service, and particularly the committee having to do with children's learning disabilities. And the people are getting together and forming a separate association tomorrow night at the White Horse Elementary School, I believe it is, at 8 o'clock. And that's to form a committee to help with the problems of children's learning disabilities. Anybody interested? White Horse Elementary, 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Good morning, talk back.
Good morning. I wonder if Mrs. Cameron, I'd like to ask Mrs. Cameron, what
right
part
ahead
of the Peace River country she came from? We're, my husband and I are from the Peace River country. We're newcomers here.
They were down there for 6 years in the Peace River country. What part was it exactly?
We were at Beaver Lodge, Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
And we know some Camerons at Flying Shot, just south of Grand Prairie.
No, we were in what they call Bonanza, Alberta. Rolla, B.C. was our headquarters at the time. We crossed the Poos, and we're in a place called Bonanza. In fact, Cam was the one that named it Bonanza. They had a meeting of the, wasn't it the UFA, United Farmers of Alberta, and
yes,
that was the name that was picked, was Bonanza, and we were across the Poos, I would say 15 to 20 miles.
Oh, yes, we know that area
from
in there,
Dawson
too.
Creek.
North of the
Highway.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very kindly.
Thank you very
Bye-bye.
Much for calling. A reminder to our listeners at the number 77891. You were saying that you knew Martha Louise Black quite well, and presumably George Black as well. Of course, there are a couple of better-known Yukoners. George Black was Member of Parliament for a good many years, was he not?
That's right. He was Member of Parliament, Conservative Member of Parliament for a good many years, and Martha Louise herself was also member during a period that George was ill. Yes, we went to school with her two boys. She had three boys, Warren, who was only up here a short while, and Donald, who went to school here, and Lyman. They were by a former marriage, and Lyman was later adopted by George Black, and so went by the name of Lyman Black. He was killed in Ottawa during the war years in a car accident. Donald is still living and is Montebello, California, who we correspond with regularly. And that's the only remaining of Mrs. George Black, Martha Louise's family.
When was Martha Louise a member of Parliament? Do you remember the years?
It was in the 30s, John. It was while we lived at Selkirk. I've just forgotten the dates.
Late 30s, anyways.
Yeah, and she was a very popular member. She traveled all over, and she stayed at Mrs. Coward's at Fort Selkirk while she was electioneering. She went up and down the boat. She went in small boats up the Pelly River, and she went just exactly any place a man would go. And she was a very, very popular member. And she took her place just as well as any of the men could.
Good morning, talk back.
Yes, very good. I'd like to speak to, what's his name?
Cam Cameron. Go ahead.
Very good. Are you still there?
Yes, would you go ahead, please? You're on the air.
I'd like to ask you whether you still remember my father. His name was Billy Fox.
Billy Fox?
Billy Fox?
Right.
Oh, yes, I remember him very well.
Yeah.
I was up and down the river a lot. You know, I met him all, on my patrols. In fact, I knew the whole family.
And I guess you're one of the boys.
I'm his oldest son.
Oh, yes. Well, I remember you, too.
Hey, you know something?
Yes, go ahead.
He would take his boat from Tell and Drury. He used to work for them.
Oh, yes?
So you were born in the Yukon, too, were you, sir? Hello?
Yeah, I was born in the Yukon.
You were.
You bet he was. Still here, just like
okay,
the rest of us.
Well, it's nice of you to call.
Thanks for calling, Billy.
Thank you very much. I'm sure there's a lot of old-timers that you can remember. How about the more famous ones? Pierre Burton, we're told, was born in Dawson City.
Yeah, well, that's right. Pierre Burton's mother was my kindergarten teacher. In fact, we started kindergarten in those days before we were five, and they tell me I cried the first year and kept my oldest sister from getting her grades. However, Mrs. Burton was Lucy Thompson at that time, and she was my kindergarten teacher, and that would be in about 19... fall of 1908, would it be? Yeah, 8 and the spring of 1909.
You knew Pierre, did you?
Oh, yes. I know Pierre and his sister, Lucy Burton. She married a Woodward.
Cam, yeah. You're going to say something.
Yes, I remember the Burtons also. The first time I can remember seeing them was when they'd been outside, I think probably 27. They came down the river in a small boat from Whitehorse. There's Mr. and Mrs. Burton and Pierre, I believe, was the boys in the boat.
Tell me, did either of you ever meet Robert Service?
No.
Oh, no, I he's never did. Before my time, long
no,
time.
No, he, I think.
And
he
I didn't meet him when he came back either, no.
I'll tell you another famous man I did know here, Alec Berry. He's probably
oh,
well known
well,
to you.
No doubt listening. He phones the program every
is
now.
Is that right, Alec?
Yeah.
Well, I think the first time I met him, I was up at the Keno Detachment.
How long ago was that?
Well, that was back in the early 20s. And I was feeling lonesome there one night, sitting in the detachment, and two chaps came in. Miners, their dirt were covered with dirt, and, you know, buckskin shirts and all that. They slapped a parcel on the desk. He says, "I got a complaint to make." "Yes," I said, "and what could that be?" "Well," he says, "my brother and I are both sober."
Huh.
"Well," I said, "that's not an unusual complaint around here, is it?" He says, "Yes, it is." "Well," I said, "we'll have to go into this very carefully." And we opened up that parcel, and you know what is in it? It wasn't screeched, it's just good old Yukon rum. And we resolved that case very well. To everybody's satisfaction.
Hi, Alec. Cam, this Yukon hooch that we have on the market is supposedly based on an actual Yukon hooch drink. Was this something that the miners or prospectors used to make or what?
No, I don't think so. It's just a common term for booze. They call it hooch.
Yeah, hooch. Talking with Cam and Martha Cameron about their many years in Yukon, one of the questions I wanted to ask you about was 45 years of marriage, there must have been a lot of ups and downs, and... How have you been able to survive, Martha?
Well, I really can't tell you.
Look at the scars on my face.
I think it's all a matter in trying to cooperate, and my friends will say, now, be careful there. But we both sort of have our own ideas. I don't think for one minute that we always agree, because we don't. In fact, there was a Mountie stationed with us when we were at Fort Selkirk. And he said, "You know, I can't figure out how you folks agreed long enough to get married." And I really sometimes wonder, too. However, we have been married going on 45 years. And we'll be 45 years in June.
How many children?
And, just the one. We have the one daughter I own. And, of course, she lives not too far from us. And we have the two little grandchildren who will be disappointed because they thought they'd see Grandma and Grandpa on the air today.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Yeah. I should point out to our listeners again that there's new equipment being installed in the TV studio, and that's why we're not on television. It's very unfortunate, certainly, but just the way things happen. And in 45 years of marriage, you must have had any hard times that you had to work out together, you know?
Oh, well, we definitely had hard times, because when we left off, we went from here to Ottawa, and then the Depression. That was the years of the Depression in 30, the Hungry 30s, in fact. So we decided, well, we couldn't make a go of it in Ottawa, so we left and drove. We had an old Page car. It was a peculiar-looking old thing. It was no top on it, you know, only just those curtains that you pulled up when you needed them. And we drove from Ottawa in May of 29. We drove from Ottawa to the Peace River country. We got out to Edmonton. And everybody was talking about the Peace River, so we thought, well, we can sink or swim anywhere, so we might as well go there. And we did. We went in there, and things were pretty tough. We would have rolled oats for breakfast, and then we'd fry it in bacon fat if we could find some bacon.
And delicious for supper.
For lunch, and maybe had the same thing for supper. There was pretty tough years there during the Depression. When we first went in there, when we bought feed for the horses and that, we paid a pretty good price. Well, then when we started producing, like we had the cow, and we had butter, and we had chickens, and had eggs, we were lucky to get 5 cents a dozen for eggs or 5 cents a pound for butter. So what we used to do mainly was trade. We'd trade with somebody had more butter than we did, so they'd give us butter and we'd give them a dozen eggs. And I think of one incident. I went into the store in town, and the storekeeper in this was in Rolla at the time. Dawson Creek's the headquarters now, and Dawson Creek is where Ione was born. But in Rolla, I went into the store, and this lady was in there, and she had a huge parcel of butter all done up in their little wax papers, and no name, of course, on it that time. We couldn't afford to put our names on it. So she said to the storekeeper, "I'd like to trade this for 10 pounds of somebody else's butter." And he said, "Well, that's an unusual request." And she said, "Well, I can tell you," she said, "a mouse fell in the cream." And she said, "I don't want to eat the butter," but she said, "You know what you don't see won't hurt you." So this chap went out in the back room, and he just took her brown paper off and brought her out her own 10 pounds of butter and gave it back to her. And he said, "You're so right, madam." He said, "What you don't know won't hurt you." So she got her own butter back.
And she didn't know.
And she didn't know the difference, yeah.
Talking with Cam and Martha Kerman. And we invite our listeners to give us a call if you've got a question or if there's anything in the past 50 or 60 years or so in the Yukon that you'd like to know about. These are the people that can tell you. The program is Talk Back. The number is 77891. We'll be back in a minute.
The Skaruul snowmobile for 73 is waiting for you now at Listers Motorsports. The new Skaruul RT and RTX models are really tough. Whether the snow is powdered or packed, there's no finer machine available for the trail. Skaruul is engineered for maneuverability and safe, smooth handling in all kinds of terrain. The added features are really impressive. For the snowmobiler who wants the best, try Skaruul. There's a model to suit every family budget. See Skaruul and a good stock of snowmobile trailers and accessories at Listers Motorsports, 406 Baxter Street, the home of Skaruul.
Thank you very much. How would you get from the Peace River country to the Yukon in the early days, back in the 30s? Cam, how did you travel then?
At that time, the railroad was in Dawson Creek.
To Hythe.
Right.
No, when we left there.
Oh, when we left there. Yeah,
the railroad was into Dawson Creek, come out to Edmonton, and by train to Vancouver, of course.
And then by boat?
Coming up to Yukon, you have to come by boat. It's always
then
very interesting.
In White, when you wound up in White, how did you get from Whitehorse to Dawson City?
By river boats, of course. That's the only transportation at the time in the summer. And, of course, in the winter, there's the winter trail. Cats were running at that time, and horses had gone. The last horses, I suppose, were on the trail wrong in late 20s. They put the cats on, and that is a mode of operation later.
What kind of transportation did you use up in Dawson City in the 20s and the 30s and that? Was it horseback mainly, or were there vehicles at the time? Or
well, in vehicles? The 30s and that, of course, the horses are pretty well gone. They had a team of horses there, I believe, at that time, but just cars.
But when you were there, trucks. When you went
when I was first Dawson, went there, of course, we had horses, and then they did get a car. Yeah.
Did you actually patrol by horse on horseback and that?
No, mostly in sleighs and cutters and so forth. Yeah. I was on Granville Detachment for a while. We had a single horse and cutter. And we'd saddle, too, if we needed it.
Was there still a lot of gold mining going on at that time?
Yes, there was somebody working in all the small creeks and that. And, of course, the company was in full operation at that time.
Mm-hmm. We're hoping to do a program later on this week on, I think, what are we calling it? Maybe a two-part program on rumors, gossip, and cabin fever. Was cabin fever a very real problem up there?
Never heard tell of it.
Yeah, well, the only time we heard of it is when somebody went, really had it, and we took them outside the asylum. Otherwise, I don't think anybody had
there was no
fever.
Halfway point.
No, there's no halfway.
Yeah, we didn't call it cabin fever. But we didn't have time to get depressed or anything like that. At least I never did. I think if a person's active enough, and we used to skate a lot, and we skied and snowshoed and had lots of home hobbies like sewing and knitting and crocheting, and I'd done leather work, and we do copper tooling. You just don't have time to get cabin fever. We didn't anyway, and I never heard tell of it until just more recent years. They were a few odd ones that did go berserk, as Cam said, and then they moved them out. But I certainly don't think it was from the Yukon closet. I think they were maybe just not too all too bright when they came up there, and they just didn't keep themselves busy enough. That's my opinion.
Good morning. Talk back.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
I would like to ask two questions, and then I'll hang up.
Okay.
Does Mrs. Cameron know Jack London? And who was the policeman before John Henry?
Before who?
In Fort Selkirk. I think his name was John Henry.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Thank you very much for calling. Jack London, I think, would have been before your time, certainly.
Yeah, no, we didn't know Jack London at all. And before John Henry at Selkirk was...
Ward, wasn't it?
A fellow by the name of Jim Ward. Jim Ward, great big husky lad. He later he went to Ross River and is now, I think he's retired, but he's living in Kamloops, B.C.
Mm-hmm. Martha, how long, Black Mike's a name that we hear every now and then, and he's still alive up on Dawson Street.
Yes,
we
well...
hear all kinds of stories about as to how old he is. Do you have any idea?
Well, if Black Mike would like to be 103, I'm the last one in the world to ever dispute it. I've known Black Mike. His name is Mike Weodanovich. And he worked with my dad on the wood saw, and he was known then as Sawdust Mike. And I've known him, well, I would say, since about 1912. But any earlier than that, I can't vouch for. Mm-hmm. And he, I believe, was from Montenegro. Montenegrin? Yeah. He's Montenegrin. And that is his name, Mike Weodanovich. And, of course, it is a bit long, and they just shortened it to... to Wenage.
Did you know Buzzsaw Jimmy?
Oh, yes, I knew him, but not until after we came up here, mm-hmm. until after we moved to Whitehorse in 49. I'd been to Whitehorse several times on trips, but we never lived here till 1949. And then we lived on the corner of Jarvis, where the Gulf Oil is. We sold that property to Gulf Oil. Mm-hmm. That was our... Jarvis and Forth. We bought a little cabin that used to be belong to the postmaster here. What was his name?
Jem Vinyl.
He was postmaster here, and that was his home. And we lived there until Gulf bought it from us in 1960, and we built our present home in Riverdale.
Cam, back in the days when you first left the Mounties, what was your idea, to make a fortune in the North and then get out, or did you just think you liked the country and wanted to stay, in fact, and make a living?
Well, when I left here, of course, I got married. That was my reason for leaving the force at that time, and I went back to Ottawa. My brother was in business there, and we went in with him. We were in construction and stucco business and so forth. But that didn't last very long. We were manufacturing stucco there. Mm-hmm. And, of course, hard times came then. Everything went flat, building especially. So we were out of business right there. So we just threw everything into a car, and we came west, as Martha described. There, mm-hmm. came through to Peace River.
Well, when you rejoined the RCMP, did you ask to be posted back in the Yukon?
No, I joined again in Vancouver, and... officer commanding suggested they wanted men for the Yukon again. He asked me if I'd like to go back, and I said, certainly, I'd like to return, and I did.
Why did you leave the RCMP again a second time?
You mean the last time?
Yeah.
Well, I'd had my time in, and the commissioner of the Yukon has suggested I come in with the game department, help get that organized. It's practically the same work as we've been carrying on before with the police, mm-hmm. and they were organizing these departments at that time, and I thought it was a very good idea. Mm-hmm. And
apropos to a previous question about cabin fever, I think the suicide rate in the Yukon has been pretty high. Did you run into a lot of this?
We always had a few cases, but I don't think it was too high. It might have been high as number of people in the territory, but I don't think it's not too high, no. Considering the life they lived and so forth, alone and so forth, there probably was a little higher than usual.
Talking with Cam and Martha Cameron about their many years here in Yukon, our phone number is 77891. The program's Talk Back. We'll be back in a minute.
The time is now to focus in on a colorful panorama of good ideas, marvelous eye-catching values for your home, for your family, a full range of merchandise that's right in focus with your budget. Yes, there's something about Simpson Sears' new spring and summer catalog you should look into. Rare, medium, well done, just dial your favorite. No need to guess, not when you own a Kenmore CompuTimer range. Focus in on page 658. See the great features of this Kenmore custom range. The continuous clean oven never really gets dirty. What a way to start in the spring with a value-packed range from Simpson Sears. Want everyday good values every day of the year? Focus to your new spring and summer catalog. Then choose, call, that's all. Simpson Sears.
Just had a phone call off the air asking if you knew Frank Golter, who is in CarMax. He's in his 90s, apparently.
Indeed, I did know Frank very well. Good morning, Frank, if you're listening to me, and Ida. I've known him ever since I was in Selkirk Detachment, since the early 30s. In fact, he was an old policeman. He came in here after the Boer War with the police, and I believe his last posting was at CarMax, and another man, I believe, got out of the force for the purpose of getting married, married a local girl there. And he liked the country, and he stayed with it. And he's still down there enjoying life, I believe.
Yes, I understand he's still, according to our caller, he's still on his original homestead.
Oh, indeed, he is. Yeah. I always look forward to seeing him when I go down there.
And his son works for the territorial government down there.
Do you get a chance to get around and visit these old-timers very often now?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I did over the years. When I was with the territorial government, I traveled all through the territory from one end to the other, and I met all these people, just a continuation of my police work. When I was with the police, I was traveling pretty much most of the time on the rivers and, of course, on creeks and so forth. And when I left that, come to the game department and the health department, why, I was again in contact with all these people.
Well, did you establish the forerunner of the present health department here in the territory?
Well, I wouldn't say I established it, no, but I came over to the health department as health officer. No, I wasn't a medical health officer at all. It was doctors.
We went to Dawson and stopped and saw many of these people along the river this summer in a small boat. Of course, Cam often makes this. I've made it a few times. But we went down. There was a school pal of ours, mine, Dave Murphy, and his wife came in, and the four of us went to Dawson in a boat that Cam built himself. And we went down the 15th of June and took 7 days. It didn't have to take us 7 days, but we took 7 days on the river. Met a lot of young people traveling in kayaks and canoes and what have you, rafts, and had a real enjoyable time.
Would you recommend that trip?
Definitely, for anybody. And it's not a dangerous trip as long as you know the river, and Cam can tell you more about that than I can.
Well, yes, I always look forward to trips on the river. I built, Charlie Taylor, my old friend, and I built two boats last winter, and I built another one in the spring. And I made two trips down last year, and I'm looking forward now to building another this winter, and I will look forward again to making more trips down next spring, down the river to Dawson.
Good morning. Talk back.
I speak to Martha.
Go right ahead.
Martha, I think somebody would be interested in your story about you being the first agent for aeroplanes in Selkirk. Why don't you tell that one?
Okay, thanks very much for calling.
Quite best CPA.
Well, I don't know. I was agent for, when I was at Fort Selkirk, I was agent for Canadian Pacific Airlines. Well, first it was White Pass, the Yukon route. And I was agent for the Canadian Pacific Airlines. And I also was looked after the agency of the Indian Department in regards to medicines. I used to deal out medicines to all and sundry. I can remember the first time I ever gave anybody a shot, and that was with a needle, and he's still living, so I guess it didn't do him any harm. It was a question of, well, either do it or not, and there was a nurse handy, and I thought, shall I ask her to help me? And then I thought, no, if I make a mistake, she'll know it, and if I do it alone with just this patient, nobody will know but he and I, and he's still living, and he can tell you that he never had a nicer needle given to him.
So what about the first airline in the Yukon? Who
well,
was it?
Well, it used to be a White Pass. I believe it was first came into Selkirk, the small planes. Harry Gordon Cooper was one. I remember one time that Harry Gordon Cooper came down. I had requested a plane to take a sick Indian to Whitehorse. And Harry made the trip down. It wasn't too good weather either, and when he got there, she revoked and wouldn't go. So Harry just had the trip for nothing. Harvey Johnson was another pilot that came in as a young man, and Les Cook was another pilot down there, Phil Iverson. When Harvey first came in, he looked like a little schoolboy. In fact, Harvey's retired now and doesn't look a day older, but I used to think, oh my, do we have to fly with a schoolboy? And you know that in another few months, I wouldn't fly with anybody else but Harvey Johnson if I could get him. He's retired now and lives in Vancouver.
Martha, how about the time you used to have to roll the field there with a cat?
Oh, yes, I used to keep the, I was agent. I used to have a cat down there, a tractor, a little old-fashioned, what was it, a two-ton?
Yeah, two-ton.
And a great huge roller. And I used to get all the kids around piled on this roller for weight. And I'd get $1.50 an hour. And of course, I made the hours. I kept my own time. So
$1.50 an hour.
I got $1.50 an hour for the roll of the airport. Yeah, and I kept it rolled for the planes coming in, and we did have some big ones. What was our largest that came in there?
Oh, the Fairchilds, of course.
Fairchilds and Balancas.
And the Tri-Motor Ford.
Tri-Motor Ford came in there, and we had several American planes down that would come in for weather. There was one time, this Hans Miro airline from Alaska, I've just forgotten, Nome, I guess, and I think there were about 12 passengers aboard. And they came in, and we put them up, three houses there in White Horse, in Selkirk, rather. We put them all up. And
on the floor.
On the floor, wherever they went. And then we'd make them lunch, and they'd start out the next day in the plane, and the weather would be duff, and they'd come back and be there a night. So finally one day, Fred Boss was down there doing some work on, I don't know what it was, and so they had him make medicine, and by gosh, they didn't come back that day. So Fred Boss made medicine for them, and the weather cleared up, and away they went. This was sometime before I got the cat. I was talking about this cat business. If they sent it down, I'd keep the airport rolled. And so the boys sent me down a little pussycat in the box. They thought I would get quite a kick out of that, so it increased our population by one, and I still didn't have my tractor.
You were a cat skinner, in other words.
I was a cat skinner for $1.50 an hour.
Was that a buck and a half? Is that big money in there?
That was good money. Yeah. That was good money, but there was nobody else there, so that was it.
Talking with Cam and Martha Cameron about their many years in the Yukon, and if any of our listeners would like to get them going on any stories or ask a question or make a comment, we'd be glad to hear you call 77891, and the show is Talk Back. We'll be back in a minute.
Making a move? Then make it a smart move with Pacific Northwest Moving. Agents for United Van Lines, Pacific Northwest Moving will take care of all your moving arrangements. Shipping, storing, packing, cartage, crating, and assure the freshness of all your possessions because every van is sanitized. Pacific Northwest Moving, they move with care anywhere. Make the right move with Pacific Northwest Moving at 3rd Avenue in Hanson. Phone 667-7252. They do more than just get you there. Pacific Northwest Moving.
Explore the Arctic with Atlas Travel on an all-inclusive Easter tour to Inuvik, Tuktoyaktuk, and Sax Harbor. Go sightseeing on a dog sled, visit Eskimos, and participate in a seal hunt if conditions permit. Leave April 20th and return April 22nd. The total price, $179.50, includes all airfares, transfers, sightseeing, two nights in hotel, and a special meal featuring blubber. There's a limited number of seats, and they've been sold out every year so far, so reserve now. Call 667-7824 for further information. See the far north with Atlas Travel.
Good morning, Talk Back.
Good morning, John. I guess you recognize my voice. I'd like to talk to Martha or Cam. It doesn't matter which.
You go right ahead.
Hello, Martha. Do you remember Fraser and Rusk that were over on what they call a loop now, but was called Dominion Creek? They had Remington, I believe, and Paris, wasn't
that's
it?
That's right. That's right. There was Fraser and Rusk. They were over on Paris, Dominion. That's right.
They were quite a well-known character.
They were well-known characters, yeah. A good many years ago, Bill, I was 12 years old. Millie Swartz and I used to go over to Granville in the summer for our vacation on a bicycle. And Dad had his stage, of course, or his school bus, really. It was a school car. It was a car, a touring car. He'd take us as far as 54 and Hunker. Do you know where that is?
Yes. Yeah.
And then Millie and I would start, and we'd go up the top of the summit, and we'd stay overnight with Joe Fournier's.
Joe Fournier, yes.
Yeah, well, then he'd tie a big tree on the back of our bike so we wouldn't go down Sulphur Creek too fast.
That was quite a hill.
That was sure a hill. But then we were pretty independent. We took the old tree off, and away we went anyway. And we used to stop at these old miners' cabins, you know, and I can remember one place we stopped. It was, this was on Dominion this time, and this old fella had some homemade wine.
Oh, that'd be Nazarino, wouldn't it?
That was right. That was Nazarino. That's
you
right.
Know him.
Oh, I
and,
know.
So Millie and I each had a glass of this wine. Well, did we ever have a ball? We thought we'd really had the world by the tail.
Uh-huh.
And I don't suppose that we had it.
There's another old-timer still out there, Martha, Pete Pontaletta.
That's right.
Is he still alive, do you know?
As far as I know, as far as I know,
I know when we were up there mining, I was with Schmidt and Franklin. We mined right near where Ledoux was there.
Yeah, of course,
and,
that was in the later years.
Yes, and he was still mining the same way as he mined in 98.
There's
and,
still an old fellow by the name of Pete Pomachino.
Oh,
he's over on Bonanza.
Yes, he was winching on number 2 dredge the time they had the walkout.
That's right, but he's over in Bonanza now, and he's still mining there.
Yeah, he's the great garlic eater.
That's right, and he
cuts out. Almost here.
He bakes his own bread, and it's delicious, homemade bread. You can always get that when you
go to
Pete.
There was another fellow up there I was trying to think of. Oh, Cyril Gay. He was up on Bonanza.
Well, yeah, but not...
not till later on.
Later on, yeah.
Yes.
That was really after
Yeah, they had
time.
The League of Nations, a cabin there. There
that's
was Tommy
right,
the
that's
Greek,
right.
Cyril Gay, and Russian John.
Yeah, but that was before my time. You see,
okay.
You're just a tea chocolate, Bill.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, thanks very much for calling, Bill.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Good morning. Talk back.
Yes, I'd like to speak to Cam, please.
Go right ahead.
Yes, I guess I'm kind of a belated neighbor of yours, Cam, from the Peace River area. I believe you remember the Hingleys.
Oh, yes.
And you were saying that at that time when you moved to Peace River country, you didn't know much about farming. I remember one story that was told by Granny Hingley that the first year, I believe you were there, that you put up, you were getting feed ready for some pigs that you had, and you put up hay rather than grain. Now, I just wondering, is this substantiated or, you know, not?
Could be. I think so. Hi there. I don't think I've met you, but I know about you, and I know your dad very well, of course, Eric.
Right.
He was a friend of mine, very good friend. I hear from him once in a while now, and all the Hingleys, of course. They were their closest neighbors, about 5 miles away at that time. And I don't know about giving the pigs hay, but I was trying to get them fat so I get some to eat, not them.
Right.
Hi.
Right. I was just wondering, why was it, I presume it was named Bonanza because of the Yukon. You've been up in the Yukon, but it sure was not because of the riches of the place.
No, that's for sure.
No, not at that time. We had the Yukon. They were suggesting names at that time. We were in having meetings there, you know, from time to time, different people there. United Farmers of Alberta, I was the president at the time. And,
right.
And we wanted a name for the place. And I come up with it. We had several names, but I put the name as Bonanza. It was looked like a rich country, or going to be. It wasn't at that time. And it was decided then to call it that.
Right,
I've always been going to look you up, Pierre.
Right,
why did you give us a phone call?
Well, we'll sure have to get together one of these
days. And Ivy works where?
At Super Value.
Super Value. Okay, we'll have to look you up.
Thanks for calling, Pierre. Right.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling, and we're going to wrap the program up. But just before we do, these notices again from Mrs. Brannigan, the Yukon Family Counseling Service Group. They're forming a new association for children's learning disabilities, and their meeting is their formal meeting is tomorrow night, formation meeting at the Whitehorse Elementary School at 8 o'clock. Anybody interested in getting involved in helping the children with learning disabilities? That's tomorrow at the elementary school at 8 o'clock. Elections for Selkirk Street School Advisory Committee will be held tonight in the Selkirk Street Gym at 8 o'clock. All interested members of Riverdale are urged to attend. Our guests today have been Martha and Cam Cameron. Once again, Cam, a very happy birthday to you, and thanks to both of you for coming on the program with us.
Thank you very much, John.
Nice to be here.
Most enjoyed it. And we'll be back, of course, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Our guest then will be Bob Erleman. He's going to discuss publishing in the Yukon. Bob, of course, is the publisher of the Whitehorse Star. We'll probably get him going on the anti-meter maid issue, and Bob's got a lot of stories that he can tell us, even though he's only been in the Yukon something like 24 years or so. But we'll look forward to having him on. We have other guests lined up for the balance of the week. But until tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, this is John Dumas saying thank you very much for being with us. We hope we'll have the TV cameras system working for tomorrow's Talkback show. Until then, have a real good day.
The opinions and views expressed on Talkback are not necessarily those of the station staff or management of CKRW or WHTV. Talkback is meant for the free expression of the public and returns tomorrow at 11:05.
CKRW, the Big 16. Have a happy day.